欢迎大家来到策展这门课，我是 Abby，
我是 Ginger。
我们这一次是我们播客开播以来第一次邀请到了一个
外国友人，
对，来做我们的嘉宾，所以我们这一期的播客会有一些特殊，我们会用全程英文去进行播客的录制，但是我们会将所有的翻译以及我们对话的原文放在节目下方的 show notes 里面，大家可以去随意浏览。
This is our first time using both Chinese and English to do the podcast, and then we'll put the translation to each language in the show notes, so feel free to have a look at them in the show notes, and welcome our guest, Anna. Anna, would you like to introduce yourself?
I'll try the Chinese version as well,
yeah.
Because I am learning Chinese. So, 你好，我是安娜，我是乌克兰人。但是现在我住在伦敦。So basically, I'm Anna. I'm from Ukraine, but I've been living in the UK for about 6 years now. I'm finishing my studies in politics, and I've been living in Islington for a very long while, which I think is the reason why we met today.
Yeah,
how's my Chinese?
You are so good.
Yeah, you don't have the foreigner accent.
Anna is currently running Storyteller, like a blog. Mm-hmm. So would you like to introduce a bit?
Yes. So the way everything started was actually with an Instagram page, and actually because of a reason that we probably all would dislike, which is the pandemic. Because when the pandemic started, we couldn't really go anywhere during lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
The only legitimate reason to go outside would be to go for a walk once a day.
Mm-hmm.
So what my flatmates and I, living really close to Angel Station at that point, did was try and find the most remote coffee shops that would still count as Islington, to walk to them as far as possible to get a coffee for takeaway and walk back. And it was quite easy at first because you would just Google coffee Islington, that's mm-hmm. pretty much it. But then we've been to quite a few of those coffee shops and it kind of got boring. And I was like, okay, so what is the best way to find out about things going on in the area, about things that are places that are interesting to check out?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Instagram, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I started searching for profiles that would be similar to a neighborhood account,
mm-hmm.
about the area. I couldn't find anything too big or active. So some of the bigger accounts were not that popular at the moment. So they were started a while ago, but then they weren't active.
Mm.
So I was like, what do you do if you can't find something you started? So
yeah,
I thought about it. I had a bit more time because I was sitting on my couch and writing essays, and I decided to start an account about the area. But all of the good handles were already taken. So I saw a page that was inactive for about 5 or 6 years, and I messaged them being like, I really like your page, but I see that you're not using it. How about I take it over? And the owners of the page were really happy about it. They're like, sure, let's just do that. And that's how it all started.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
then,
you didn't choose the name of Islington?
No, I wanted, no, that's Islington London. That's my Instagram page. So that's how the Instagram page started.
Uh-huh.
When the Instagram page started, it grew so quickly.
Uh-huh.
Even though I was quite busy with work and studies, so I didn't do as much in terms of marketing, which I understood opened a niche. Because of that, there were so many people following it, even though from my side there wasn't as much effort as I would have liked to make, just because I didn't have the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I understood that people really care about this. So when the page grew to almost 10,000 followers, and that was all naturally grows, it was local, mm-hmm. The local area, mostly people based in London, at least that's what I see according to the statistics from the page analysis. I understood that, well, there is a big audience. There are people who reach out to me asking, for example, for advice on where to take out someone from their family for their birthday, or
mm-hmm.
they've just moved back from the US and they started living with their family in Islington, where should we go? Or where do we walk our dog? No, I'm serious, but walking your dog in Islington can be very tricky because some parks don't allow dogs and some do. So it is a tough one as well. So mm-hmm. there are a lot of questions like that. And I love answering these questions. But then mm-hmm. I felt like, okay, there are people who have kind of a similar interest. Mm-hmm. Also, there are so many people I've met through the page or just by walking around Islington, talking to them. And I've heard so many absolutely wonderful stories. Mm-hmm. And I just know that not a lot of people know about it. And I just wanted to share. Mm-hmm. And that was the main reason for starting the page. Mm-hmm. I mean, the second page, which is Islington Storyteller. Mm-hmm. I thought about the name for quite a while. And the idea was that I want to tell stories about other people. I don't want to tell my story to everyone, right? Because this is all about connecting the community.
Yeah.
And not just within Islington, but more the wider London community, showing that, oh, there's this lovely little place that you can visit mm-hmm. and feel like you're a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the reason why I started the blog. The idea behind it is that I can write articles, but also I can work together with collaborators
mm-hmm.
whom I call storytellers.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, one of the guides that we had, What's On in Islington, it was written by a friend of mine, Brona,
mm-hmm.
Who's been living in Islington for a very long while. And yeah, I just call her one of the Islington storytellers,
mm-hmm.
Brona, has put together a list of things that you should check out. Or, for example, another one is Cheno, who is a student right now, and she's moved to student halls in Islington.
Mm-hmm.
And she has this passion for journalism, mm-hmm. but that's not what she's studying. And she told me, well, I really would like to try myself out and just expand my skill set.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, let's try it out. Let's see what we can do. What are you interested in writing? And then she's working on an interesting piece right now about a coffee maker in Islington. And she's another storyteller. So it's people like that.
Yeah, I feel like they're all from different backgrounds.
Yes. So that's briefly about the way everything started. Mm-hmm. On offer right now. So mm-hmm. there's the Instagram page, there's the blog.
Mm-hmm.
I also just launched a newsletter. So there was only one newsletter sent out so far. But it's a combination of articles and recommendations of what to do in Islington, what are the events mm-hmm. going on, tickets to book with links mm-hmm. and things like that. So that's going on as well. Going to be expanding to doing some more videos as well, mm-hmm. reels. So I'm working with the filmmaker for that. So yeah, quite a few things.
Wow. Yeah. So for us, why we're quite interesting to learn about more about Islington and Islington storyteller, because during our curatorial practices, we would like to connect us with the local community. Mm-hmm. So we feel like your way to create this kind of community connections between yourself and some local peoples, it's really a good way. It's kind of like a city curation, curating the group of people from the local community. So that's how we feel it's kind of related to what we did.
Yeah, because for our first exhibition, it's in a community library. We were trying to connect with mm-hmm. the local people there, but I found that it's really hard to get mm-hmm. into. That's what I asked you, like, how do you have any failure in connecting with people? Because we did. It's like we are an outsider. And mm-hmm. it's really hard to get to connect with people. And what we are doing in our curatorial practice is to connect like the foreigner like us with mm-hmm. the local people more. Yeah.
Yeah. So doing some cultural exchange between different group of people, but we're still trying.
I kind of understand you in a sense, but also what helps in terms of being in London is that this is such a hub for people from all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Islington feels like a very residential area, right? And it is to some extent, but at the same time, you will find people from all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you don't really feel that much like an outsider, because I wasn't born in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
I really love London. I love the area and I love connecting with the people there, but I'm not from there.
Mm.
At the same time, I feel like this is my home. I have a feeling of being at home when I'm there. So I think that's what matters. So with time and trial and error help, I think it will all be okay.
Do you have the strong agreement of Islington identity? I'm proud of I'm living in Islington. I agree with the Islington culture or 身份认同感.
I don't understand what you mean. I think the Islington identity is something quite fluid in a sense, because there are so many aspects to Islington. That's why I really, really love the area, because it's residential and traditional in a sense, but also very vibrant and youthful in another sense. So I think being a person from Islington or an Islingtonian, weird word, but we'll stick with it. I think being that is being able to accept differences and kind of absorb all of these different things that make Islington Islington. Mm-hmm. And I think the majority of the people are like that. Yeah, for sure. And it's quite often that when I talk to people in London in general, if someone has lived in Islington at a certain point in their life, everyone says Islington is great. Yeah, you should move to Islington. Yeah.
I used to live in Old Street for 4 years.
Mm-hmm. 4 years?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I didn't feel anything. It's great to live in London, but it's great to live in where I live now. So, yeah, so I'm kind of like, I'm feeling curious that you have
to. Well, whenever you want to come and experience Islington, just let me know.
We've just experienced some part of it. Yeah.
What did you like about it the most so far?
Like Islington?
Or at least, today.
Especially for this year, I come to Angel in the same streets we were walking down really often, once or twice a week. So it's quite frequent place I went to. And then, but I never tried never dared to walk into the Italian grocery shops before. And that one's really surprised me.
Everyone's very welcome.
I'm super new to London, and especially for East Linton part, because I'm far away. I'm living South London. I feel like I really like this area, this space. It's because of her. She always bring me to the Japanese
katsute.
Katsute.
So good. They're shortbreads, or what is it? Shortbread cake or sponge cake or something with strawberries and cream.
Yeah,
it's delicious.
Yeah, and I saw that it's on the website, you're really categorize them into food and events,
And then so it was food and drink, culture, and living local.
Why do you choose these three categories? Because I found that it's quite, food for you is quite important.
Well, yes, I love food. I very much love food. I don't like taking pictures of food as much, but probably that's problematic for someone who is trying to do an Instagram post about things. I like when I consume things that have quality and that people put effort into. And I think that's what you find in the majority of local restaurants in Islington. It's an interesting fact, actually. There are more than 365 restaurants in Islington, so you could technically eat in a different restaurant every day. I would go broke if I did that, so that's why I don't. But I think the idea of just learning about different cultures, cuisines, by trying out different places is really nice. I think this is also something that can bring people together, and that's something that people can relate to. So part of the things that I do for the page in Instagram is reposting pictures of the neighborhood that people have taken and tag me in, so that they would get some sort of exposure. And more than half of the pictures are food. So I assume that people like food. So normally food and drink is a separate category that I would like to highlight. And then another one is culture, because I think that's something that is a bit underestimated in Islington. Local people know about it, but I think it's not something that you will see on Time Out London, for example. What are the cultural events going on in Islington? So normally they would be focused around Soho, central areas. And actually, in Islington, you have quite a few theatres. You have Sadler's Wells, which is a modern dance theatre. You have Little Angel Theatre. what else? The Screen on the Green, which is an everyman cinema, but they have a lot of kind of niche screenings as well. And then you have a lot of galleries, like there is the Esterick Collection in Highbury and Islington, which is absolutely amazing. They have temporary exhibitions of modern Italian artists. Mm-hmm. So, and not only Italian artists. So now they have this Archie Penko exhibition, so who mm-hmm. is an American Ukrainian artist.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a part of the avant-garde movement, and mm-hmm. somehow they related it to the Italian avant-garde as well.
Mm-hmm.
And there is that going on. Mm-hmm. People don't really know about it as much unless mm-hmm. you live in the area. There is the Victoria Mara Museum as well, and smaller things like the Candid Arts Trust. If you don't know of it, just go there at some point. It's a very interesting atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
So it's this kind of like community space for mm-hmm. young artists. And they have a cafe mm-hmm. upstairs, which has great vibes. And also they have another space for short-term exhibitions mm-hmm. and for live drawing classes. So they have live drawing classes quite often. And these things, you need to know about them to experience them. So
yeah,
that's
exactly.
Why culture is a second part.
Yeah.
And then living local is just a combination of things, like where to find tennis courts and how to book them. That's an article mm-hmm. that will come up really soon, because it is a hassle. Mm-hmm. Or where to go for runs, or you know, what are the best grocery stores to check out. So it's a range of things.
But you got this information and details like from you going there in person, or mm-hmm. from knowing people.
Yes. So that's, or there are quite a few people who are working with me on the blog in terms mm-hmm. of contributions.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just ask them, okay, you've lived here for 12 years, I haven't lived here for that long, what do you think? And they would just give recommendations or write an article about it. I would be the one editing it and posting.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
So where you go to the place they recommend yourself?
Sometimes yes, sometimes not, because sometimes it's just too many things to check
yeah.
out. And
yeah.
I would definitely want to do that. It's just sometimes it's really not possible physically. But I do trust the people that I'm doing collaborations with, because I've met them personally.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a great connection. And then I know that having their experience of living in Islington for much longer than I do,
mm-hmm.
I trust their tastes. And of course, the goal is to know every single place in Islington, but that's not possible. So,
so where you find that the person you know, like who recommends all these kind of things, their personality or their, I don't know, their taste have strong link to what they recommend. Like from, let's say, if I don't know the person who recommend this place, from what they recommend, I will kind of like know what she's like, or what he's
oh,
like.
Oh, mm-hmm. I get what you mean.
Yeah.
Ah, interesting. Do you mean that whether the places that people like kind of represent their character a bit?
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, things like that. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm asking this, it's like, if you don't know Abby, and you asked me what cafe to go to, and I said that my friends Abby recommend this,
mm-hmm.
and you will imagine what's Abby like.
Oh,
what Abby,
I see.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. I think, yes, that's to an extent that could happen. But also, there is still an overarching kind of image of what a person in Islington is like.
Uh-huh.
So I'd say that that's a very tough question. Yeah, it's different. I think every person in Islington, just as every single place in Islington,
mm-hmm.
is different from
mm-hmm.
each other.
Yeah.
So I'd say that the common denominator would be that people in Islington like exploring. So you know, whoever I talk to, they would always have their favorite coffee shop, their favorite
mm-hmm.
restaurant, but then they would always be interested in finding out what's new, what's
mm-hmm.
happening, what's buzzing.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah, they do have the common
thing. Mm-hmm. And I think another thing is people do like finding their favorite coffee shop, grocery store, whatever. Getting to know, for example, the people who work there
mm-hmm.
and then coming back. So that's something that you can hear quite often in the fishmongers, for example, or in the French cheese shop in
mm-hmm.
Cabin Passage, where people would come and they would immediately recognize everyone. They would be like, oh, how are you doing? Haven't seen you in a while. All of that conversation going on. I really like that, that for a local.
I've read some of the articles on your blog, on the website. I found that people would like to recommend, like in the morning, they would like to go to somewhere, and after that, they're doing something else and have some rest, things like that. And I feel like it's really kind of a slow lifestyle. It's not getting rushed. It's not running to somewhere directly from one point to another point. It's like stretch the timeline into like a long term for you to have a good rest, for you to experience this kind of lifestyle. So do you think the Islington is a very slow lifestyle area?
I think it's the perfect transition between London hectic manic lifestyle and the very residential lifestyle that you would have on the very outskirts of London. So I think it's the perfect middle ground. Because you're very close to the center of London. You're almost in the party scene and everything. But you have your green spaces, you have your local shops and restaurants. But what you're talking about in terms of slow living, I think this is a big reason why so many young people move, or young professionals move to Islington. I think, for example, for someone with a family, it might not be the first choice to live in Islington, but young professionals, for example, who are, especially those who have a very hectic lifestyle, oftentimes choose to live in Islington specifically because of this slower pace. And I think the whole idea of slow living is a really interesting concept to think about in this context.
Yeah, because the reason why we come up with the concept of slowing down, it's like your approach to all this information is by knowing people. It's like physically in person knowing people and maybe wandering in this area yourself, which is kind of going in the opposite way of what people are living now, like navigating everything on their phones, digital, everything on digital and online. But you were doing like everything in person, which is quite traditional.
I think in this sense, I'm very, very
classic.
I'd say I'm very, very traditional, I guess that's the word that you could use. Because honestly, if I could handwrite letters to people and send them to the mail and get replies, I would do that. But the thing is that I very much value personal connection, and I think that's something that the pandemic has shown us, how important it is to have people around you, and not on Zoom, not through a screen, not through a text message, but in person. That's why, for example, any person who contributes, I would meet them as well. The people who I have done collaborations with, I've seen them in person. It's all about this, really, human connection.
There are so many stories you have heard. Is there anyone that really impressed you? Like live in your head, live in your mind?
There's so many. There's so many. It would be difficult to focus on just one. Well, you've met Selena and Alex. Their story is quite interesting. One other is there was a coffee shop not far away from the post office, which is close by Angel Station, the York Pub, and Regent's Canals. And that coffee shop was called Meletius. It was now the owner has changed and there is a new coffee shop opening, so I'm very curious to see how that looks. Kind of wait to pay a visit. But I remember meeting Meletius, the owner of that coffee shop, and we were having chats about like how did he start everything. And he came to London from another city in the UK, and he was an actor at some point. And then he was just doing different jobs, and one of them was being a barista, and he got really inspired by coffee. He loved coffee. He was like, okay, I want to make coffee. And that was his initial idea. He knew that he wanted to make coffee, but he started from being a barista.
Mm-hmm.
And then with some time, he opened a coffee shop up north in London. He opened another shop in Islington.
Mm-hmm.
They started roasting coffee within that shop, so they mm-hmm. had a small roastery there. They started doing different blends, and their coffee, so good.
Oh.
Honestly, I'm the type of person who knows her coffee, okay? I can probably rate all of the coffee shops in Islington by the standards of their coffee. I'm not going to do that because I like going to them and I don't like to have favorites. But that was definitely one of the best places for coffee in the area in terms of the quality and the different blends.
Mm-hmm.
Because Mel's life was literally coffee at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And when I met him, he told me, Anna, this is my end goal is to have a big roastery.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how it's going to work out, but this is what I want to happen. In a year's time after we met, I recently went to visit him in his roastery, which is a big warehouse space with quite a few.
I'm going to
machines.
Make a wish to support you as well. And now I'm going to realize it after 1 year.
Well, I don't think it was me in any way. It's more about how inspiring it is that a person has this goal in mind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they move towards it regarding anything that happens around them. So,
mm-hmm.
That's one of the most inspiring stories. There are so many of them like that in the area, but
mm-hmm.
it's something that starts with a dream
mm-hmm.
and then proceeds to become a goal
mm-hmm.
and then grows with having a plan
mm-hmm.
and taking certain actions to execute it. So I think that's one of the stories, and that's
yeah.
very inspiring.
Yeah.
I'd say
yeah.
that we can learn from that for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's always good for us to listen about this kind of background stories from people. Like once we are communicating with some artists, we would like to hear some more
mm-hmm.
about what's going on, how this triggers you to be an artist.
Mm-hmm.
There like anything like related to your personal life and to your like background story. It's always,
you have to be very connected with your emotions so
yeah.
to express them and evoke feeling when you create art, right?
Yeah.
And I'm still thinking about the grocery, like the Italian grocery
mm-hmm.
we just went to.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote it in the outline as well. Like I researched it, there was a soft food movement in Italy at around 1980s.
Which moment?
Soft food. Not soft. Slow food.
More
slow. Sorry. Hard food. Yeah. Slow food movement.
Mm.
And that's go against with the globalization in food industry. And I feel, and I just realized that was a Italian grocery we went to.
Yeah.
And all of the things, like all the products and items, they have their
mm-hmm.
own stories. And
yeah.
The stories about producers.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm feeling like, is it a
that
specific
is.
Reason like they choose Islington?
We should ask Sabina and Alessandra.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they like the area, and also they live in the area as well.
Mm-hmm.
They like the area, and they saw that Cameron Passage is a very lively place as well. It's
mm-hmm.
a really good place to have this type of grocery store. But I do agree that this place is the definition of slow.
Mm-hmm.
Was it slow food?
Slow
yeah. food. Because everything, as you said, has a story, has
mm-hmm.
a meaning.
Yeah.
So when you come, for example, for their wine tastings or cheese tastings, they would tell you the story of the wine, the story of the cheese. They would pair them. And oh my gosh, the pairing is perfect. Like seriously, last time we went, I did not expect that. There was a pairing of an Italian beer with cheese.
Oh my.
Everything else was wine and cheese, but
uh-huh.
this was a beer and cheese. I was quite weirded out by that initially.
Yeah.
When I tried it, it was just perfect. So I think whatever they say in terms of foods and pairings, I trust them.
Oh.
Yeah. And again, it's all about passion. What inspires me and what drives me to try and find out stories about people in Islington is them being passionate about something very specific. Mm-hmm. And here you see Miletius was and is super passionate about coffee. That's his life now. Mm-hmm. And has been his life for years.
Mm-hmm.
Selina and Alessandro are passionate about Italian food, local mm-hmm. producers, and creating engaging experiences with food, mm-hmm. not just
yeah.
selling food.
Yeah.
Other people, there's some other people I would like to mention, but now my mind is blank. But for example, there is a pantry shop mm-hmm. not far away from Edgar, also run by a local couple, and they're super passionate about just sharing local producers from within the UK, mm-hmm. abroad as well, but just expanding the world mm-hmm. around these local producers. There are those who own flower shops and do workshops mm-hmm. related to flower arrangements, and that's their life. Mm. And that is what inspires me, is when a person is so passionate about this one thing that makes them so good at what they do. And that's the definition of slow life and good quality life. I think you had in your outline something about a definition of success, right?
Yeah. Because from my background, especially in China, I feel like for most of people, they don't know what they're passionate for. They don't have an interest. Mm. They just follow the trend of the society. Like everyone going to the, I don't know, maybe business or financial career. So I do it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like I follow the trend.
Mm-hmm.
And not every everyone have their passion, what they're interested in.
And I feel like sometimes it's very, people just stay on a very superficial level because a lot of things that hide behind it, whether it's a food industry, like how the food produce, like the food producers, like the farmers and everything else, it's just hidden behind it, but nobody cares about it. They just want to buy the food itself and go.
Yeah. And the outcome is really important. Like the outcome that I define it as a so-called success,
mm-hmm.
like people want to get that success, so they put any efforts and ignore every process of getting them.
Mm-hmm.
Something that I've been thinking about recently, actually going through a lot of existential crises recently. I think that everyone in their 20s does that, but something that I've been thinking about is the definition of success, right?
Mm-hmm.
In my home country, it's also similar in the sense of success is quantified, so it's monetized, right?
Mm.
It's how much money you earn and how much stability you have. These are the two variables. I think that probably is linked somehow to our historic background and to the fact that our home countries are still not as developed as, for example, Western Europe
mm-hmm.
or the UK. We still have some way to go, especially in terms of our perceptions of how society should be structured. I think that partially conditions the expectations from someone in terms of how can they succeed. But even in London, you have this idea of you have to get into a high-paying, stable job, and then you'll be successful. But what I think, it doesn't matter what you end up doing. What matters is that you enjoy the process. So I think for me, success, and I don't think that success should be, or rather happiness should be a function of success.
Mm-hmm.
I think happiness should come from the process of mm-hmm. reaching whichever goal mm-hmm. you set. Because once you reach the goal, it won't be as interesting anymore and you'll just want to set another goal. Mm-hmm. So I think you might as well enjoy the process and whatever that means for every single person. And that's exactly what I get so inspired by from talking to all of these people in Islington, because you see how they enjoy their day-to-day
mm-hmm.
life, even though sometimes they are so tired when
mm-hmm.
they finish their work day, or they work overtime or
mm-hmm.
all the time almost. But then they're still happy because they know that they create value and it's tangible, they see it. people come back. It's like with the artists, they know that they're appreciated when they see that people appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is kind of very similar in a sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I feel like from what you just mentioned, they have already embraced their jobs or their work into their life. It's part of their life. But for most of people, they'll separate their jobs and their lives.
Totally different.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. It's all about this question of work-life balance, right?
Yeah.
Whether we need, why do we need work-life balance? Because sometimes the job we do is something that drains our life, and we feel like we need a break from it. But if you kind of incorporate the two into and somehow do what you like, then probably that wouldn't be too big of a problem, the work-life balance.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I'm not a guru, I have absolutely no idea. But I really liked how you brought up the question of slow living. It's something that London lacks, I think, a lot. In terms of when I go to Italy, I just feel, you feel the dolce vita in the ambience, in the air. Or when you go to France, people appreciate themselves and their free time.
Mm.
And here, I've tried to do that. And what I realized is that I have to force myself to do it.
Mm.
Once you kind of block out a part of your calendar for this is going to be me time, slow living time, you can do it and you actually enjoy it. But if you don't do that, you won't find the time, I think.
Yeah, that's what I feel as well. I have to force myself to slow down. And I used to take a lot of nap every day, but I can't do it now.
Oh really?
No, it's like I have the time.
Mm-hmm.
I have loads of time, but I just can't do it. Like
one thing that I've tried at some point is just taking yourself an artist date, they call it.
Mm.
But it doesn't have to be artistic, and you don't have to be an artist for it. It's just a time when you tell yourself that you're going to go on your own. You're not going to bring a friend with you, you're not going to talk on the phone or chat with anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Just take 2 hours of your day, go someplace, and kind of follow your feeling. Whatever you feel like doing, just do it. So for example, you would go to a coffee shop with a book, then you sit down, you're reading the book, and then you hear that someone next to you is talking about something, then you're listening to the conversation. Then that conversation, for example, reminds you of a postcard you've seen at some point.
Mm-hmm.
So you walk out and you go to the nearest bookshop to find the postcard. You buy the postcard. In the bookshop, you think of something else. For example, oh, this book reminds me of how when I was a child, I went to the park with my mom. So you would just go to the park. You would listen to the birds. You would follow where the birds are taking you. Then you would stop there. You would, for example, sit down or lie down in the grass, look at the sky. The clouds remind you of something. You go and do something else that links to that feeling.
Yeah.
And this way, you open yourself up to feeling your feelings and not rationalizing everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because normally, even in London, when we make plans,
mm-hmm.
you literally plan everything. Okay, here I go at this time, I go this bar, this restaurant, this whatever, and then I have to get on with another thing that I'm doing. And here it's kind of like a free-flowing space for you to discover yourself.
Yeah.
That really helped.
Yeah.
So yeah. Oh, I try to do that every week, this once.
Awesome.
For two hours.
Yeah, yeah.
To do a lot to yourself. Like, okay, done.
kind of.
Okay, easy.
Well, it's not like that, but yes, I kind of have to return to my normal life.
So what do you normally think when you're... I feel like when you're doing that kind of, I'll call it exercise.
Definitely.
Yeah. You really live in that space and in that moment and with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of things like you're thinking of?
Oh wow.
So does it every time, does it connect to what your environment be and what the things that happening?
I think so. Also, perhaps to the things that you were a bit worried or uncertain about, but then you kind of block them or forget about them because you're in your normal routine and here you have the time to process them. But sometimes it's just very interesting. If you're a curious person, it's just very interesting to discover things around you, not even feel your own feelings, but feel things that you see around experience things that other people feel. Yeah,
because I'm kind of thinking that if I was you, I'm sitting in the cafe and I'm doing nothing, I might think that whether it's a good choice to quit my banking job or not, and I think that for 2 hours and then
I guess if that's something that you struggle with, for example, you could probably have a general idea of what you want to do for those 2 hours. So you would move around, or you could, for example, you could go for an exhibition on your own and just walk around, think. That's why I went to the photographer's gallery. On they have really nice social evenings on Fridays with music and drinks, and then they have the galleries open, and I just went there on my own just to walk around and think and meet some people, interact, and feel like there's no specific purpose for you being there. It's just exploring. So this was recommended to me by a friend, and it's really, really helpful. So do that, tell me about it next time.
Yes.
Homework.
And I found a very interesting thing, because sometimes once I'm working on the road or taking the bus, I need to wear my earphone to listen to some of the meetings all the time. But I barely could notice about the noise around me if I'm not wearing the earphone. Mm-hmm. But once I'm wearing the earphones, I can notice all the environmental noise around me. Like what other people's talking on the bus and about how the car passed by is just enlarged with the sound. I have no idea what's happening.
Maybe it's because the meeting is not interesting enough that you get distracted.
So I think if you would like to escape a little bit and pay more attention to the surroundings, probably just wear an earphone and listen to something that you are not interested in.
But I would like listen to my surrounding, to the environment
that's
with consciousness.
Yeah. I think that's something that I try to do as well. And that's related to the project that you're kind of trying to put together, right? About sound. I think we don't notice all this white noise around us because we're so used to it. So for example, a friend of mine recently moved to London from Ukraine, and she lived in the suburbs, and she called me up once and she was like, Anna, it's so loud in London, I can't really sleep, I don't really like this ambience of, you can feel the rush of the city in the air. And I realized that I don't even notice it anymore. So I think when you start consciously noticing the sounds around you, it can lead to many introspective discoveries as well.
I feel like all of this white noise or this sound of the surrounding like really trigger my memories and my imagination or illusion as well, because sometimes I pretend not to listen to others, but I'm like, because my ears, I can't close my ears. It can be performative. I can try to, like, because I'm look Asian, so it's easier for me to like pretend not to understanding others, but I do. So sometimes I'm actually hearing the sound from my bag, like what is happening in the next carriage or in the next carriage behind me in the tube. And then I remember there was once like three young men coming inside and they opened the cans of beers and they toast and saying happy birthday to one of them. And I can't really turn over and look at the scenes, but I can imagine it. So it's really warm and it's really touching.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
It's actually very interesting if you would, for example, have a description of a situation which you kind of read out and then the sound, and you would kind of imagine it.
Yeah.
That would be quite interesting.
But for me, I just feel like I need a disconnect and then reconnect. Mm. Sometimes it's really hard for me to aware all of the sound around me. So I need to like wear an earphone, listen to something else. Mm. And then I am trying to disconnect with the surroundings. And then it get me connect, just bring my own awareness about.
But I feel like if you are like having meetings on the bus, it's like you're afraid of wasting time. Like the time you're having transports, you value it as a
about wasting time, but the time is just happened once I'm on the bus. Like people always choose to meet at around 6 or 5:30, and I'm always on the bus because I just get up my job and then I'm back home, and so I need to wear the headphones and listen to these things. So
it's also interesting what we perceive as waste of time and what not.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's how in London we rationalize our time in general, mm-hmm. structure our time. What is a good investment of time? What is a waste of time?
Mm-hmm.
And again, someplace like in Italy, you wouldn't even think about that. You would just go for a drink and maybe during the day and maybe mm-hmm. another one, and then you might meet some friends mm-hmm. who you didn't really plan to meet with. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of this flowing situation. Whereas in London, you're looking at your clock, watch constantly, thinking of what is it that you have to do next. And I don't think that one is good or bad. It's just the way it is, and we have to acknowledge it too, in order to kind of live with that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your next step for the platform?
I think, as I told you, because of recent changes in my life, I'm probably going to have a bit more time to devote to the platform, and also I'm very excited about expanding and expanding all of the parts of the platform that are there already. So I think mm-hmm. I don't want to create that many new things.
Mm-hmm.
I would just want to make sure that there is enough content for the Instagram page, for the blog, also for the newsletter, make it something that people are used to. Perhaps connecting in other ways with the neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
Through events, for example, and also doing the neighborhood profiles, which is a really interesting initiative that I'm starting right now. I'm looking forward to that. Again, if anyone listening to this podcast is interested, probably there are going to be links to the platforms. And if you have any ideas, any contributions, or any constructive or unconstructive criticism, just send me a message or an email. I'm always really, really happy to kind of see what other people think. I look forward to doing something together in terms of exhibitions and anything really, or just showing you around Islington.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I really appreciate the way, like, kind of city curation.
Yeah.
And
city curation. I've never thought about it this way, but it's a great way. No, I've never just put it into words this way. I think this is very insightful for you guys.
That's about this episode. Thanks, Anna. And we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.